Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah! You know, I don't love it, Slee. I really, really appreciate it now more than ever. The third year, or I should say the third hour.
Third year.
This is, look, we'll get to the third year soon enough. We should probably worry about our third week.
Yeah.
Coming in at three hours a day, but this feels great. I love the fact that we get to go a third hour. I love the fact that we get to do Dodgers and Lakers and Rams and everything else coming up right now. It's just so good.
Second cup of coffee. Let's get going here, Trev.
Second
cup of coffee. How many have you had already?
More than two.
Okay. One, two and a half, three.
We're probably getting there, but I don't need it. I'm already peaking. I'm naturally peaking, Slee.
Yeah, sure.
I'm naturally peaking because we're getting things like this. We're getting things like from OC Dodger fans. Trav right now mentioning on TV on ESPN LA with Slee. Didn't that channel also show Dodger home games back in the day? I don't remember that. They may have. I'm not saying yes or no, but I vividly remember. See, this is, I feel like my grandfather. You know when they brought color onto Bonanza, it was a game changer. It's like, yeah, Grandpa, whatever.
We're going to have some of those.
TV's been in color forever as far as I'm concerned. Who cares when Bonanza went color? I don't care. This was me with on TV with the Laker games, just absolutely right. Wait. I can watch home Laker games from my house?
I got another dude on Twitter telling me that the fact that I didn't watch SportsCenter after Lakers lost, he's like, no, I would watch it. I can't go through the agony of that. The last thing I need is some dude coming on and telling me how bad the Lakers are, why they lost, all that stuff.
Especially when the Lakers lose, right?
That's like what
the
I'm
championship,
saying.
The championship does.
Oh, no, the championships, those were.
No, you can't watch the post-championship. No. If you're in the finals and lose, that's a, you know, 3-2-1,
let me turn off the TV.
I'm out at that point.
The year that they lost to Boston, when Paul Pierce spilt the Gatorade on Doc Rivers, just with like 7 minutes left in the game, they decided to start their celebration.
Was that the same game where he left in a wheelchair?
Same series?
Yeah, same series, okay. Probably a couple games
And then
before.
Came back 5 minutes later and had like 30
nothing
points?
Nothing happened,
yeah.
That's not even a, I'm not going to watch SportsCenter. That's like, I'm off TV for a week.
Like A month for me.
I needed to walk away. I needed to go on one of those walks where, you know what? Wherever I end up is where I end up. So doing SportsCenter after that, no thank you. So for those who don't know, 42 years ago today, SportsCenter started.
42 years ago today. Now, we got to watch the Dodgers this weekend, and not great from a this weekend perspective, right? Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Losing 2 out of 3 in a vacuum. Lost 10 of the 19 games this year. Home field advantage, if in fact it goes to a game 163,
we'll go to the Giants.
Be in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Not great, but Al, I choose not to look at it like that. I choose to look at it as another week is off the calendar, right? Let's go old school, make the big red X's through each day, right? When you get to Monday, or in this case Tuesday because of Labor Day, are we closer? Yeah, they are closer. They are within one game. They're playing the Cardinals again today. The Rockies and the Giants have their series in Colorado. The Dodgers are within one game of the San Francisco Giants with 24 games to go, and I feel great about it. Absolutely great about
it. If you'd have asked me the same question on Thursday, so the Giants still had one more game left against the Brewers. They had lost the first three. Dodgers had already swept the Atlanta Braves. I got to be honest, I'd be surprised if you'd have told me the Giants still have a game lead on the Dodgers. And really what I'm referring to there, Trav, is there was such momentum for the Dodgers, incredible momentum for the Dodgers. And the Giants look like there was a point over the last week or so, hey, this team might be in a, when I say a downward spiral, what do I mean? What I mean is they just don't win the NL West. That's what I'm talking about. They're obviously still going to get to the wild card, put themselves in a great position. But it felt like this might be a kind of a ticking thing. It's only a matter of time before the Dodgers surpass them and then kind of start taking control of the division. I just didn't think the Dodgers would lose 2 or 3 of the Giants. I didn't think Buehler would get shelled on Sunday the way he did. But when the dust settles, you did mention they're still just one game back.
Yeah, no, they're in a really good spot. Would it be better to be in front? Of course. Would it be better to be 3 games up having slept? Of course. It's week to week for me. This is what I said to you a month ago. How are they at the end of each week? And that's why I started to get a little worried. Now,
because it kept being three
because
games,
it was three.
And a half
they,
back,
weren't,
yeah.
they weren't picking off any ground. Now, they had a good week this week. They picked up two games along the way. The worry, though, is different now. The worry before was, are you going to catch him? The worry may now be, are you going to catch him, or when are you going to catch him, or how do you catch him, right? Because we've spent so much time focused on wild card or division, and that's still the choice. They're going to be one or the other. But the route to one or the other, there's another element to it now. Before it was, okay, you don't catch him, you're into the wild card game, you beat the Padres or the Reds.
It's Bueller or Scherzer, whatever. You figure it out and you get in.
Now, there's a real possibility that the Dodgers and Giants are going to finish the regular season with the same record. We're going to have to play 163rd regular season game.
Play an extra game and then
burn a guy.
Yep.
And by the way, everything coming out of my mouth right now is true for the Giants as well. One game playoff, burn your guy, whoever your guy is. Turn around and play a wild card game 2 days later, burn your next guy, and then turn around 2 days after that to open up a division series. You're opening your series with your third best guy potentially at this point, and this is why I think that the Dodgers are still in a better spot than the Giants. Because best guy to best guy, Bueller to their best guy, Kevin Gausman, okay, Bueller. Scherzer to their next best guy, Dee Scalfini. Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Urias to the next best guy. Give me one of those guys. They could go 3-1, and they're still in a great spot.
Look, this is the main reason why both teams look at this so critically. Because if you're the Giants, you feel, can we let the Dodgers go have to be in a one-game playoff? And who knows what can happen in a one-game playoff? Can we let them at least, worst-case scenario, use one of their aces before they come play us? Just as an example, right? If you're the Dodgers, I mean, if it's set up this way, Trav, and I know anything could happen in baseball, but if they win the division and they don't have to play that 163rd game against the Giants, and now all of a sudden they're in that spot where they're Scherzer and Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, Reyes, however you want to kind of use it. I just don't know how they get beat. I know it can happen. I know it's happened before, but that's kind of the position that the Giants are in. They almost feel like if we got a legitimate chance at a World Series here, can we put Dodgers on the hot spot? Can Dodgers be in that one-game situation? And obviously getting two or three puts them at least in a position. If that 163rd comes, it's in San Francisco.
Today's stat hero of the day, none other than Max Scherzer, who had his 13th strikeout last night.
His 1-2. A changeup disappears, and he's got 13 today.
So stupid that he's plan B or C or whatever you want to call it.
I think there's some people here in LA that wouldn't look at him as a plan B or C. I might be falling along the same line as that.
You're one little bump in the road for Walker Bueller, and we're done with him?
No. If the conversation is, and we'll throw out this question to listeners that are out there, if you get a one-game playoff, if you're in a one-game playoff, or you want to play the 163rd game you're talking about against San Francisco, and it lines up to where you can pick between Walker Bueller or Max Scherzer in that game, a one-game. Who are you taking, Bueller or Scherzer?
Bueller.
What?
Bueller.
Why'd you stop?
Because
you started Scherzer.
No, it was
877-710-ESPN. By the way, if you want to comment.
Because
on that.
The choice is between two aces, both aces. There is no a bad choice. But for me, when you look at their postseason accomplishments, ones are very good, and the others are exemplary. And Walker Buellers are the ones that are exemplary. They're not just better than Max Scherzer's, they're noticeably better. He's a better postseason pitcher, which game 163, while technically a regular season game, for all intents and purposes, that's a playoff game. Give me the guy that pitches better in playoff games. I don't think look, if you're telling me that the schedule breaks a certain way and it's Scherzer, great. I love it. Let's go. Let's party. But if you're telling me I can pick, give me Walker Bueller.
This is why I think this weekend or these last couple of days were interesting, because Bueller got hit.
He did.
It happens. He's still the best pitcher in baseball, or on a very, very short list of best pitchers in baseball. He got hit on Sunday against the Giants in a game where the Dodgers could have had a one-game lead walking away. And then what happened the next day? Scherzer, you just played the highlight, 13 strikeouts against St. Louis. And pretty much kind of the, you know, we've said this about Bueller too. I mean, Scherzer's in a rhythm right now where it just, He's walking off the mound before strike three is
no,
even
it's
called.
No, he's feeling himself. He knows.
I take sure. But let's put it that way. I'll take sure.
And look, there's a reason I'm not jumping up and down saying, what are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
It's fine. If you're not wrong. I'm just telling you, everybody all of a sudden, we did this when you were on your trip. And I think it was Kirk. It may have been DeMarco. And it was Bueller, 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 Bueller. I just think that people have a certain taste in their mouth because he got hit on Sunday. Big deal.
You took Mitch White.
He got hit. Mitch White, probably not my first choice. I'll tell you what's a big deal is how Clayton Kershaw pitches in OKC tonight.
That's today, right?
Today. Mm-hmm. He's pitching for AAA OKC today. I don't care what the result is. I care what his health is. That's the part because that's another game changer. Now, all of a sudden, Urias is your three or your four. Kershaw's your three or your four. And now that bullpen game that the Dodgers have had to navigate around, that they're going to have to navigate around today. They have a bullpen game today in St. Louis. It's a thing of the past. It's just, okay, because in the playoffs, you don't need your fifth guy. He's not going to pitch. There's off days built in there. You only need your three or four.
Did it not feel like, and I know we got to get some calls here, 877-710-ESPN. Did it not feel like, Trav, over the weekend, did it feel like playoff baseball, even the series against the Braves here at Dodger Stadium, isn't it kind of starting to feel like it or
the
no?
The Dodgers-Braves series, yes. The Dodgers-Giants series, less so, because they're too close and there's too much time. No one was going to decide it this weekend unless they swept.
Just the atmosphere,
the
setup.
The atmosphere was
the
great,
matchup.
But the advantage to be gained was minor. And that's why I still feel pretty good about it. Let's try a phone call here. Santa Monica and Mario. Mario, you are on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
In game 163, I say start Scherzer, and here's why. The Dodgers made the big trade at the deadline to get him in order to help him in the playoffs. Dodgers lose game 163. They don't even make it to the playoffs. So start him 163. You get your money's worth. He gets you into the playoffs. He comes back for game three or four, and then, you know, he can get you out of a 2-0 hole or give you guys the advantage later on. But, you know, if they got him before the playoffs and you lose 163 of Bueller pitches, then it doesn't make any sense to make the trade for him in the first place.
Because you're going to have games beyond that, whether he pitches in it or not. Game 163, you want to win it. You do everything you can to win it.
You still have one more game if you lose it.
You're still fine. So you do Bueller and then Scherzer, or Scherzer then Bueller. I don't think there's a huge difference, but for me, it's Bueller, but it's narrow. I think Mario kind of put a button on it for me, Slee. There's this sense that all of a sudden Bueller's a risk. What are we talking about? He's going to win the Cy Young Award, and if he doesn't, he'll finish second.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Max Scherzer just had a great day yesterday, and it was –
You're talking about 3 days of just you had Bueller have a bad outing.
Yes.
And Scherzer is now, the Dodgers are 7-0 when he starts, who, by the way, his ERA now 2.28, Bueller 2.31 after those two starts. I get what you're saying. I know you can't go wrong. Let me pay this off real quick. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. I'm in a little bit of a losing streak. I'm picking it back up tonight, okay? Don't give me that look.
Pick Dodgers.
Don't give me that look.
Pick Dodgers. It's not complicated. Burbank and Lane. Lane, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Lane?
Hey, guys. Great to have local sports talk on in the mornings.
Thank you, Lane.
I've got a take on the Dodgers that I never hear anybody talk about, and that is that they are actually – the Dodgers bludgeon people with their talent. But as a baseball team, execution-wise, guys, they're not great. In fact, they are the worst defensive team in Major League Baseball. They've given up more on runs than any other team. They lost Friday night because they couldn't make a throw from second base in extra innings. And situational hitting, they're terrible at moving runners, scoring guys from third. I mean, it's not good when you have playoff-type baseball and it comes down to the little things. If you're fair about it, I'm a huge Dodger fan, but when you look at them, they're not good at the little things, and they really need to get that under control. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Lane. Thanks. That Lane is a baseball fan and a good one. You can tell by that. He's not wrong. They do have an execution issue. Look, part of the reason that the Dodgers struggled the way that they did through the first part of the season in those extra inning games and one-run games is all the little things that Lane was just mentioning. Those little things that move a guy along.
Sure.
Those outs that you pick up because you're playing high-level defense. Those are the things that were not getting done.
Sunday for Bueller. You had guys at second and third, nobody out.
100%. Well, Cody Bellinger, thanks for that. We'll get to him in a second. Mm-hmm. But he's right. I think that if this team has an Achilles heel, it's offensively, yesterday's a perfect example. They score four runs in the first inning. You're like, here we go. This is a 9-2 day. It's 5-1. Mm-hmm. It was a game the rest of the way. Now, Dodgers were comfortably ahead the whole time, but we've seen it before against the Braves. They scored five runs in the first three innings. They only score five runs. Mm-hmm. They're not great at those little things. Now, what he was saying, part of it is you got Trey Turner playing out of position at second base. He's learning a new position at the major league level, which is very hard. The error that he's referring to, Will Smith was playing first base. He'd never played there in his life in that moment. So there's some stuff going on.
Throw could have been better. Will Smith, you know.
Mm-hmm. That being said, the Dodger team last year was excellent at those little things. Excellent at them. They were relentless in the batter's box, not just because they scored a bunch of runs, but they would grind you up. They were so good at making a pitcher work. You turn around, it's the third inning. The starting pitcher for the other team's thrown 48 pitches. Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. How did they do that? Mm-hmm. They don't do that as much anymore. So all of those little things, yes. But he also said something, Slee, that I believe in my heart of hearts. It's not a guarantee, but give me the best players every time, and I really like my chances. And nobody has the better players than the Dodgers, and they do. I loved his line. They bludgeon you with their talent because it's just endless.
Yeah, nobody's going to argue that from a talent perspective. That's why it doesn't matter what any of these other teams are doing. Everybody's just kind of waiting. Okay, are the Dodgers going to be healthy? Are all their guys going to be clicking? One of those guys, obviously, we spent some time talking about and continues to get a lot of attention is Cody Bellinger, and I know you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to talk about one of our favorite actors, one of our favorite anti-heroes, Omar from The Wire, Michael K. Williams. He passed over the weekend. We'll get into that a little bit. But coming up next, I'm going to tell you why the number 7 is the most important number for the Dodgers. That's next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think for the first time, Slee, letting you change my mind. I don't think that's ever happened before. You talked me into something this morning that I was not in on about Cody Bellinger. You explained to me why is everybody preoccupied about this guy? He's one guy. They've got all these other guys.
Yeah.
We talk about all this talent. Why are we just preoccupied with the one guy that's hitting 165? I think you're right.
I get it. I mean, I understand. You know, obviously, the dude was an MVP. You mentioned this. If you were watching that game on ESPN on Sunday, they're showing his numbers from his MVP season and his numbers since then. I get that part. You know, the reality is maybe we're just not spending enough time. How many times have we said, you see what Chris Taylor did today?
Mm-hmm.
You see what Will Smith, how clutch he was here? Do you see A.J. Pollock do this?
Yes.
There's almost no holes in the Dodgers lineup. And what happens because all these other guys are having tremendous amount of success, it makes Bellinger look more and more isolated. It makes Cody Bellinger look more and more, plus, you know, what he's done in the past. But I kind of go back to this. As awful as he's been, you know, there's been games where guys haven't scored and there's runners in scoring position where they haven't capitalized.
When they lose, it's not because Cody Bellinger's batting a buck 65. They lose because they didn't score enough runs and Cody didn't help. It's both of those
things
consistent. At the same time. Yeah, look, this is why I said the number 7 is the most important number for the Dodgers right now. They're playing 7-8. National League teams have 8 offensive players in the pitcher. Right now, the Dodgers have 7 Cody Bellinger in the pitcher. Because you look at Cody Bellinger's numbers, they're pitcher numbers.
Bellinger's evening out the lineup. He's just making it more even.
You got the other 7 guys. I'm going to spend more time on that because it's one of those things that's really scary. And obviously the Dodgers haven't hit this point yet, but you got to think it's in the back of their mind at some point where it's just like, look, this is what it is. I think that Dave Robertson, Andrew Friedman, those guys are probably like, he's going to find it. This is a terrible slump. It's lasted more than a year.
You think they're still saying that right now?
They have to, or why else would he be in the lineup?
Because they don't have a choice at the moment.
I hear what you're saying.
And it was a week ago Dave Roberts was saying, hey, against lefties, I'm not going to have him in.
I get it. But when we say they don't have a choice, it's more of a turn of phrase than anything else. Billy McKinney isn't hitting 165. Mm-hmm. You know, they could put Albert Pujols in the lineup, and all of a sudden you put Muncy at second. That puts Turner in the outfield or Taylor in the outfield. You could cover it. Once Pollock is back,
then there's no conversation.
You could put him in. There's no conversation. But, yeah, I mean, you have options. So I think they still believe that it's going to turn at some. I don't. I've just kind of moved on to whatever you get from him is gravy. If he pops one, great. I'll take it and be happy for him. If he robs a home run, which I think is probably the most likely scenario for him to contribute to the team, great. I'll take it. But waiting for him to break out, that ship has sailed for me. It's over.
Okay, but I'm going to go back to the beginning of this. Are we making too much of every time the Dodgers lose, there's, you know, article today, this morning, maybe it was yesterday, about on LA Times, just about Bellinger. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
We spend so much time talking about how the Dodgers are so stacked. I also feel like there's an incredible amount of attention on one player. He's been awful.
If Chris Taylor were hitting .165, we wouldn't be talking about
it.
He'd be in the lineup maybe because for the same reasons that we just mentioned. But we're not, what the hell is going on with Cody Bellinger was the MVP 2 years ago.
And that's why we're having the chat. Because you got all these other people thriving and he's not.
Yeah, this isn't Albert Pujols who's the MVP 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's 2 years ago. It's extraordinary. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Let's try another phone call here. Let's go to San Diego and Tony. Tony, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I am a Giants fan. I think one thing that we may be missing, while the Dodgers have name recognition, the Giants don't. But in years 10 and 12, it was kind of the same scenario. Didn't win the division, no name recognition. It went out and played ball. And I think the same thing this year. Don't have a lot of name recognition, but guys are just playing ball consistently, and that's helping them stay where they are right now. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the Dodgers have far more name recognition than the Giants. But, look, they've got three guys that are multiple-time World Series champions on that team. Buster Posey's won the World Series 3 times. Brandon Crawford's won the World Series 3 times. Brandon Belt's won the World Series twice. Chris Bryant is an MVP not that long. They got some big names. Evan Longoria is a multiple-time
All-Star. But I get what he's saying. There's something to what he's saying.
I think if I could peel that onion a little bit, I think what he's getting at is that the Giants are good. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to dumb it down like that, but what he's saying is the Giants are not going to vomit on their shoes.
Do you think
they're going to win? The Dodgers just have to win more games than they do. It's not going to get handed to them because, like you said, Al, right? You said it. The Giants were teetering. Lose 2 or 3 to Atlanta. Dodgers didn't do them any favors. They lost 2 or 3-2, so they're kind of okay. Go and open against Milwaukee. Loss, loss, loss. While the Dodgers go win, win, win. That's the point that a team that's constructed of guys that are just over their skis crash. They weren't. We had a bad week. Big deal. Beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. But they're good.
That's more impressive than anything. That's more impressive is when, you know, Trav, whether you like it or not, a lot of the conversation about the Giants is, well, when's it going to happen? When are they going to start kind of leaning the other way? When are the Dodgers going to take over the division, not just because they're the Los Angeles Dodgers, but the Giants are also playing at a pace that just doesn't seem sustainable over 162 games.
It's sustainable.
Okay, let me take it this way then. Do you think the Giants fear the Dodgers?
No, and I think that's the scariest part of
all. I don't either.
The scariest thing that the Dodgers are dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. It's not that the Padres could have Blake Snell.
Okay, do you think the Padres fear the Dodgers?
Yes, a little bit.
I do too.
Fear, maybe not, but do they have...
Do they think, you know, 100% confidence, we can beat these guys?
No.
I don't think the Padres feel that.
In the back of their mind, they're thinking the Dodgers are better than us, we need to get a break.
Do the Giants feel that way?
Not at all. That's the difference. And I think that that's the only team in the National League that feels that way. We haven't seen the Brewers enough. We'll get them last year. By the way, that could be a huge series for the Dodgers. They finish up with the Milwaukee Brewers, so we'll see. But no, it feels that why? We beat them 10 times in 19 tries. We won the season series. Why would I be afraid of those guys? And they didn't do it by getting lucky. They did it by being better than the Dodgers those 10 games.
And you might say that, hey, Buehler had one bad outing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You're right about that. But for the Giants, maybe that means more than one bad outing, right? That maybe for the Giants it means, wait a minute, we're head-to-head. This is the rubber match of this three-game set. One of these two teams are walking out with the division lead, and they have Bueller on the mound. Maybe it's not that big of a deal to the Dodgers, but probably psychologically a big thing for the Giants.
Again. Yeah. Let's go to Huntington Beach and Paul. Paul, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good to talk to you guys again. I appreciate it. You know, the thing is with Bueller, the Giants had he had never lost to the Giants, and they got him on Sunday. That could be a psychological issue that Al's getting at right there. You know, the thing with Bellinger, by the way, he can be terrible at swinging a bat, but he better be an A1 center fielder, and for the most part, he has. And that justifies a lot of him in the lineup because when he's good out there, he is really, really good. As it relates to Bueller and Scherzer, game 163, coin flip and pick the next guy for the next day. I mean, at the end of the day, the Dodgers are so loaded. And the caller the second ago who said, hey, you know, they bludgeon him to death with their talent, he's 100% right, and the Dodgers aren't very good because they've been so disjointed. Mookie Betts was not very good most of the year. Seager's been out almost the entire year. Bellinger's been terrible. Those are your three biggest bats in the middle of the lineup, and they've been in and out of the lineup, and we're down to 3 out of 5 starting pitchers, guys, including a swingman. I mean, it's been so disjointed, and they still have the second-best record in baseball. That's how freaking talented they are. Should be a fun fall. Talk to you guys later.
Solid call right there.
Yeah, no, they have been disjointed. They have not been doing that. I take issue with the first thing he talked about with Cody Bellinger, that his center field
better
play
be A1.
No, he's a great center fielder. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. Nothing justifies 165.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what justifies 165? Striking out 13 guys like Max Scherzer yesterday. If you're going to hit 165, you better have a fastball and a curveball, because there is no way that you can say, hey, guys, think about this. I know that baseball has changed a lot, right? It's changed a lot. But the Mendoza line, that was 200, right? Mario Mendoza, if you're below the Mendoza line, 200, it's like you can't play in the major leagues.
Yeah,
if you can't
hit
200, I get that it's changed a little bit, home runs and all, whatever. 165? 165.
Yeah, but you already said it. It's also you have trained Dodger fans that you are this player, and you have only gone the opposite way. Like, just think about that for a second. It's everybody thinks you're going to deliver, and you have now not delivered for so long. You have convinced everybody else if you do anything positive with the bat, it's a parade. Like, that's how different Bellinger has been over the course of the last year and a half.
Let's try one more here. Let's go to Santa Barbara and Aaron. Aaron, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, I'm watching Bellinger swing. It's almost as if he's swinging, hoping the ball, the pitch is going to come to where he's swinging. It doesn't even look like he's watching the ball
right
in
there.
The barrel
it's
of the bat.
It's not like that. It's exactly that.
And the point about being, you know, center field A1, that's great, but how many balls are in the course of a game are going to come to center field that an average outfielder couldn't handle? We're missing something with the bat. You got to replace him in the lineup.
With who? That's the question. Thank you, Aaron. When A.J. Pollock comes back, we're having a different conversation.
There really is no conversation. What is
the
conversation?
You want Billy McKinney? Yeah, I mean, do you want Matt Beattie back? I mean, like, what are we talking about?
I think the Dodgers organization is just hoping, Bellinger, do something. Just do anything with your bat. Give us some type of justification. Do something to be anything. You can't have a 0-for-4s. He's basically going 1-for-8, 1-for-10 every couple of days. That's what he's doing.
It's even if you're batting 200, you're getting a hit every game.
Mm-hmm.
167? 165? I gave him 2 points. It's 165. I mean, at some point you can't continue to think and look. Let me put this out there. We can take this on the other side, too. We'll get back to this in a minute. But do we really think it's coming around again? Does this feel permanent, or does this feel like the worst slump you've seen in years?
I felt like
it feels real permanent to me.
If it was coming back, it would have came back a month and a half ago. It would have came back a month ago.
Or last season, or the end of the season before that. This is not just a week or a month or a year. It's going all the way back. The last month of his MVP season was really bad. This is not just something that showed up all of a sudden. Don't tinker with your swing, baseball players. If it works, keep swinging the bat. So does it come? Does it leave? We'll do that coming up in a few minutes. But Slee, our favorite TV anti-heroes, coming up next. It's Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN. So some sad news over the weekend, Slee, with the death of Michael K. Williams, 54 years old. He, of course, played Omar Little on The Wire.
And great on Boardwalk Empire as well. He's played
Chalky
a lot
White.
Of great roles.
Yeah, what a great name. Mm-hmm. What a great name. It's, you know, it kind of started with The Sopranos, I guess, the anti-hero, right? The bad guy that you kind of like, that you end up rooting for. Tony Soprano, great example of that. Mm-hmm. But Omar was definitely one of those guys because he's robbing people, but he's robbing drug dealers. He's walking
it's like
around
the Robin Hood.
Yeah, firing his gun at people, mm-hmm. but only the bad guys. He's out there in a world that is just absolutely hellacious, and he's got a compass. Like, he's got a moral code that he follows that doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but it makes sense to him. It makes sense to the good guys and the bad guys. That he was able to nail that role the way that he was so good. He's got to be on that short list of some of our favorite anti-heroes of all time.
Yeah, I feel bad. You know, it's one of those. I mentioned this. This is part of the world of social media, that when something like this happens, it's all over the place. So yesterday, I know for me, spending a lot of time and just, you're scrolling through Twitter, scrolling through Instagram, whatever the case is, you got a lot of people going out of their way to kind of pay their respect. But it did kind of get both of us thinking. You know, you start thinking of some of these certain roles or characters in some of these top-notch, whether it shows, HBO series, Netflix, whatever the case is, that is one of the best ones. By the way, you could stay with The Wire for a second. Marlo.
So, but Marlo's not terribly redeeming. Like, Marlo just was... He's
not redeeming. He was just bad.
He was just a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's boarding people up in the row houses and throwing the lime on them and just letting them rot. Okay. There's not a lot of upside to Omar.
All right, how about this? This, by the way, Rolling Stone had a list of some of these villains, you could say. Greatest
villains.
Who's
your favorite?
Okay. So this, I'm going to go back to Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Gus.
Gus is great. Gus is great. Gus is a great character.
His whole role, like his whole thing, the way he comes to work, he's suited up.
He's a good manager of a fast food restaurant.
He's running like, a
it's
fast
clean,
food chain.
Employees are respectful. He's a really good fast food chain manager.
And then the way in the background everything gets done, right? Like a
then
customer
he slits a guy's
comes
throat
in.
Down in the basement.
Yeah,
of the,
I won't think
lab.
Of a box cutter the same way again.
No, thank you. Gus, to me, that's the ultimate for... But just because I loved his character, too. I thought he had such a fantastic character.
That's a great character. You could stick with that show. You talk about Saul Goodman or Jimmy McGill, however you want to identify him. He's another one. He kind of set up his brother to have a nervous breakdown and kill himself. Right? So that's not great. But he also took care of his brother for a really long time and was one of the few people that realized his brother had some stuff going on. He's a great... The one for me, though... is another one of these prestige TV shows. You know, another one early, kind of similar to when Tony Soprano was doing, was Vic Mackey from The Shield. Okay, that was another one, super bad guy. Be like, yeah, I kind of want to see what this guy's going to do next. Great. But number one, Don Draper. Because Don Draper might be the worst husband in the history of television. Don Draper, not a particularly great dad, except for the moments where he's a really good dad.
Mm-hmm.
Don Draper, bad boss, except for to Peggy, who he kind of takes under his wing and teaches how to do the business.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible friend to everybody, except for when he's being a really good guy. Don Draper's at the top of the list for me. Plus, I kind of want to be Don Draper.
But they put Rolling Stones had this list. You know who's on here from The Sopranos? Tony Soprano's mother.
But again, she's just evil. There's
just
no
evil.
Upside.
No, just evil.
She's a great villain, but she's not kind of a... Was anybody rooting for Olivia Soprano?
No.
I mean, you were hoping Tony was going to put a pillow over her face.
But let me,
that's all you wanted to see happen.
But let me tell you something. When you're thinking like... You're right, that she's not going to... She's only going to have that. But you forget about it. Like, thinking about The Sopranos. I don't know. I never really think of her character. I'm like, yeah, that was a freaking villain.
Hey, guys, what about your boy, Johnny Lawrence?
No. What?
He's not an anti-hero?
What? No, he's a hero.
No, he's not. He was a bad guy.
He beat up Daniel LaRusso, which is the greatest service anyone can do.
Well, to you it is.
Did you just say blocked?
Yeah.
Like, what do you just blocked him from what? What'd you block him from?
I blocked his commentary. I blocked
like,
him from
he does that every day. It's fine.
No,
Bunch's mic won't work for 10 minutes. He's blocked.
Johnny Lawrence should be the mayor, the senator, the president, the governor. Like, he should be in charge of everything because he's stuck in the 80s, which I admire. He wants to beat up Daniel, which I really admire. And he's trying to find his way. He's trying to do right by people now.
I got a tweet. I forget when this was. Maybe it was last week. They said for Halloween, Travis and Sliwa should be Daniel LaRusso.
Okay.
And Johnny Lawrence.
I love this idea. I want to wear a Cobra Kai gi. Like, I want to walk around with that thing. I want to be that guy. But maybe I'll be Sensei Kreese. Maybe I'll do that. That sounds better to me.
Be sleeveless and everything.
Are you ready to go around as Daniel LaRusso? Hey, sorry, Johnny.
I'll go run a car dealership down the street if I have to. Whatever it takes.
He's the worst. So is Bellinger done? He's done, right? Like, and I'm not talking out of the line, but
no, because we did factor cap earlier, and you and I both thought that he'll have a moment in the playoffs.
I'm not saying he won't have a moment here or there. Look, he could hit a home run to win them the World Series. That
what are you asking? If he's ever going to be in a conversation for MVP again? No.
Never mind. Is he ever going to be a good major league player again? Never mind MVP. Can he be? Okay, let's make it local. Mm-hmm. Can he be as good as Chris Taylor? Can he be as good as
AJ Pollock?
AJ Pollock. Because he's miles away from those guys right now. That's the question that the Dodgers need to be asking themselves isn't, can he run into one and win a game? Of course he can, right? Theoretically, anybody can.
You think he's still a Dodger next year?
Yeah, because they don't have to pay him yet, right? He's still got a couple of years of arbitration availability.
Yeah, but if you don't have to pay him yet, but he's taking up, like you said, and you basically are saying they're 7-on-8.
The tools are there, but this is the question. And I've kind of let go of the rope. This is one of these things where being a parent, I think, kind of helps a little bit. No matter how bummed you might be at one of your kids and what they do, you never give up. Right? You can't. You can't say, I'm write that kid off. No matter what it is, you got to keep. Let's try it again.
Plus,
let's try
you'd
it
be
again.
Selling at the absolute worst time where there's.
With a baseball player, at some point, you go, look, this guy is hurting me. He's not helping me. And at some point, I can't get value for him. But can I continue to run a 165 hitter out in the lineup every single day? They have to do it right now because
so
they don't
weird.
Have choices. But at some point, this isn't one of your kids is what I'm getting at. You can say, I'm really sorry, but you're done here.
But you know what's so weird is this is what the Dodgers do. They make players better once they come to the organization. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Think about some of the other guys, whether it's Max Muncy or whether it's, and I know we've mentioned Chris Taylor a couple different times. They get better when they're with the Dodgers. That's not happened with Bellinger over time. Unfortunately, listen. At the end of the day, you want to see this guy turn it around, but I just don't think you have the confidence that's going to happen.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. At some point, you have to say we're going to look in another spot. Mm-hmm.
Talking about this season.
No, I'm not. I'm talking. There are no options right now. There are no options right now as far as what do we have that will make this team better today against the Cardinals. He's your best bet. It's not a good bet, but he's your best bet.
And it's tough to think about, next March or April. It's tough to think about that. You know why, Trav? It's just in the thick of it. You know, all we're thinking about is day-to-day. What is Bellinger doing right now for the Dodgers as you're a game back from the San Francisco Giants?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, you're right. Nothing.
He's not bringing the ball back. He's not getting on base. He can't even use his leg. He can run, but it's really hard to do stuff on the bases when you're never on base. It's just absolutely extraordinary. The dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Okay, Al. So we have entered a time where people are looking for reasons to get angry and worked up and just apoplectic about things that don't matter. This is the latest. This is Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly after they narrowly escaped over the weekend against Florida State, talking about his team.
Yeah, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Okay.
What's he talking about?
So
don't do this. Out of all the things that you say people are just upset for, what's he talking about? I'm watching that live, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, did anybody else catch that?
Getting old sucks. For a variety of reasons, it sucks. But what it does allow you is to have a little perspective on things.
Okay, give us the perspective.
Brian Kelly was given a callback to something that former USC coach John McKay said a million years ago. Okay. John McKay, head coach at USC, won a bunch of national championships, then became the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were an expansion team. Mm-hmm. He was their guy. And after one of their games, a reporter asked him, what did you think of your team's execution? And his response was, I'm in favor of it. Okay, that's the joke that in 1970, everybody goes, ah, there's Coach McKay. You know, what a cut.
So let me get this right here. You want everybody to go back to 1970 and understand what Brian Kelly is trying to say?
No. What I'm saying is that he obviously didn't mean that he was going to take all of the Notre Dame players,
understand,
line them up against a wall,
of course,
give them a cigarette and a blindfold, and say on the count of three,
right,
let it go.
Of course.
Relax, people. It was a bad joke. He didn't execute it well. He went to a time that the vast majority of people aren't listening to, but lighten up. Brian Kelly, there's a lot of good reasons to dislike
Brian
Kelly.
Just real quick,
That's not one of them.
In today's world, do you think that that reasoning that you're looking for and going back to a joke from 40 years ago, you think that's going to happen? Of course it's not going to happen. Of course it's not going to happen. And by the way, until you told me this morning about, hey, there's a joke, here's the joke, it came from this, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
But let's have a little common sense at some point. He wasn't advocating for the execution of Notre Dame football players.
Nobody is thinking that that's what
he's... Then why are they mad?
Because it's a stupid thing to say.
Okay.
It's a stupid thing to say.
So that's dumb. Keep it moving. What? Come on, man.
Today's day and age, you can say a lot less and you're all over Twitter.
I'm far more interested in why USC had a 13-7 lead in the fourth quarter against San Jose State than what Brian Kelly said about executing his team. That's the part that people should be freaking out at. I know you look at the final score. Hey, they once said 30-7 or whatever. No, it was 13-7 in the fourth quarter. That's the part that people need to be fired up
about. I think what you
got
to be paying attention to is how good San Jose State is.
Well, according to Clay Helton, lethal program.
Yeah.
No, look, they win, whatever. San Jose State is still San Jose State, but they escaped, they won. They got another one coming up, so we'll see how USC, but I was totally unimpressed with what they did. All right, Mike Tyson, the fight that he had against Bruce Seldon where Tupac got killed after the fight, that was today.
Okay, you were there, right?
I was.
You said, for those who haven't heard it before, I think you said there's certain sporting events that you've been to, nothing like a Mike Tyson fight, but explain that night, because when we look back, and I know for me, I just look back, footage, videos, all this stuff, it's different than somebody that was actually there.
So Mike Tyson fights have a dynamic that is completely unique to them. Boxing, I've never been to UFC event, so maybe this is
sure.
there.
Could be a Conor McGregor.
Probably is. Mm-hmm. But first of all, you're in the arena. Somebody's going to get hurt. That's the point of the event, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to a basketball game, you're not thinking somebody's going to get hurt tonight. Somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to win. But not somebody's going to fight. When you're going to go watch a fight, somebody's going to get hurt. With Mike Tyson, turn that up even higher. Mike Tyson going up against a tomato can like Bruce Seldon, turn it up even higher. Mm-hmm. So there's this element of something bad is going to happen here. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being totally honest, it's not entirely unappealing. It's uncomfortable, but it's like, yeah, I can't wait to see this kind of feeling. Fight sucked, like most of those fights that Mike Tyson had post, you know, the second part of his career did. Mm-hmm. But then afterwards, I'm sitting at a Denny's in Las Vegas
at 2:00
in the morning, and there go the police cars. Right, wait, what happened? Sure enough, Tupac killed on the street that night. Just extraordinary. Just an extraordinary moment.
Yeah, I try to think, you know, and this was 25 years ago. I always try to think, it's like one of those most shocking kind of moments. You think back, and that's one of them.
Yeah. All right, next one. This day, 2008, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady torn ACL against the Chiefs in week one. He missed the rest of the season, and that was really the one and only time in the last 20 years where you could kind of say, yeah, Tom Brady, whatever, not really thinking about him. For 20-plus years, he's been in the middle of this minus one season.
I look at the new Tom Brady. Don't you like the Tom Brady in Tampa? Like, isn't there a different version?
A great question.
Because when he was in New England, I'm not rooting for Bill Belichick. I'm not rooting for the Patriots. I'm not rooting for Tom Brady. How come that kind of changed once he went to Tampa and all of a sudden it felt like this dude is going backwards in age? Like he's a frat guy now.
Well, look, if we're being honest, him getting super drunk on that boat was appealing.
Throwing the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
To Gronk.
He's become a high-level social media troll, which is kind of fun to watch. It's a Belichick thing. It's not even a Tom. You don't like Tom Brady more than now that he's in Tampa.
Brady can be himself more that he's in Tampa?
That's how much of an ogre Bill Belichick is. That Bill Belichick ruins everything with his personality. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Brady thing. It's a Belichick thing.
Yeah, I look at the suffered a torn ACL week one, missed the rest of the season. I mean, it's you kind of pay attention. You always watch, okay, well, Tom Brady, you kind of hear the conversation every single year. Oh, it's this quarterback that's going to do well. Oh, it's this team that's going to go this far, whatever the case is. Tom Brady just continues to do it.
Who's not at their best first, LeBron or Tom Brady? Who has the drop first?
Tom Brady's got to be done. I mean, after how many more years?
Year?
I know, but how many more years? Yeah, that's actually a good question.
Five years ago would be the answer.
Who's got three more better years, him or LeBron? Three more better years, him or LeBron? LeBron's got two more years left on his contract.
The problem is it's harder for LeBron because he has to do it all by himself. How do people find the pod?
ESPN app or on iTunes. Now you can catch the full 3 hours from 10 a.m. To 11 a.m. We appreciate you guys, or I'm sorry, to 1 p.m. We appreciate you guys tuning in.
Hopefully the Dodgers are back on top tomorrow. It is the Dodgers and the Cardinals today. Go against the Giants, the Rockies. We've got all that going on. It's Travis and Slee, 9:55, Al. Be here on time tomorrow. 9:55, Travis and Slee. We'll see you then.